Okay, let's get into today's perek, and that is Malachim Beis, Perek Ches. As we are drawing the days of Elisha to a close, as the Abarbanel points out in this perek, the Nisim, the 18 Nisim in his counting that he has done, is coming to a close as we near the destruction of the Malchus of Yisrael, as we will see. But the perek starts off with Elisha talking to the woman who he did Tchias HaMesim for her son. So this conversation actually took place a number of years before, but Elisha had told, that's the best way to translate this, Elisha had told the woman that it's going to be a seven-year famine, so she should leave Eretz Yisrael. So she left Eretz Yisrael, and went to the land of the Plishtim. After the 7 years, she comes back in, and she comes back to Eretz Yisrael exactly at the moment that the king Yehoram is talking to Gehazi, and he was asking Gehazi, tell me about some of the Nisim that Elisha has done. Elisha's telling him, and Elisha reports about the Tchias HaMesim that Elisha did for the woman and her child. And right then the woman walks in and says, oh, you know what, I've been away. King, could you please help me get back my land, my house, which has been taken? So he takes it as a siman that this is what he should do, so he gets her back her property. That is part one of the parak. Then part two of the parak, we have Elisha going to Damascus. Elisha goes to Damascus, and the king of Aram, who has been the enemy of Klal Yisrael all these years, is chole. He hears that the Ish Elokim is coming, and he sends his trusted messenger, Chazael, go take a present. They all respected the Ish Elokim. Go take a present and seek him out and ask him, am I going to live? Chazael comes to him and brings the presents, and kol tuv damesek, he takes him 40 camel loads of fruit, and he says, the king of Aram, Ben-Hadad, has sent me. He wants to know if he's going to live from this choli. Elisha has, one of the reasons, as we'll see, as he was sent here, is to tell Chazal that he's going to be the king, fulfilling Elio's message. So Elisha says to him, he is not going to live, not clear 100% in the psukim. We'll read it, Bez Hashem. But the message is that you shouldn't tell him that he's going to die, but he is going to die. And then all of a sudden, Elisha turns to his face to the side and starts crying. And Chazal says, why are you crying? Elisha says, because I see what you're going to do to Klal Yisrael in the future. You're going to become the king. You're going to destroy them. You're going to kill their babies. You're going to kill their pregnant women. And Chazal says, what do you mean? I'm just an Eved. Elisha says, you are going to be the king. Elisha turns around, and Chazael turns around, and the next day has a hand in the death of the king of Ben-Hadad. He puts some type of towel on him. Maybe he suffocates him. Maybe he just makes him sick. Either way, Chazal takes over and being the king. And the parak just ends off with the changing of the guard. Yoram ben Achav and Yehoshaphat ben Yehuda were kings at the same time, but then Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat took over. As we mentioned, two Yehorams were king at the same time. They both did not act well in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Ayela B'derech Malchi Yisrael. At this time, in Yehoram's time, the Jews followed. Malchi Yehuda even followed their brethren Malchi Yisrael. Why? It was even an intermarriage. Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat, married the daughter of Achav, right, bringing the holy Malchi Yehuda together with Malchi Yisrael, and there were enemies, and Edom attacked Malchi Yehuda, and Ammon attacked Malchi Yisrael, and the parak ends off by saying, Yoram, the son of Achav, got sick, a terrible illness, and he died, and his son Achazio took over, who was also a terrible king, and the parak ends off by saying that they were sick, and Yoram ben Achav went out to war with Chazael, and he, the earlier Yoram of Malchi Yehuda had died, and Yoram ben Achav was very sick at the end of this parak. Okay, so that's the parak as we near the end of the stories of Elio and Elisha, and Achav and Achav's family, really coming back to finish up the stories from the end of Malachim Aleph, of Achav's family going to be wiped out, it's coming up very soon. So here we go, the beginning of the parak. Elisha diber Elisha asher hechi yisbedal lemar. Elisha is talking to the woman, as Rashi, the Radak, point out here, this conversation must have taken place 7 years earlier, because we already learned recently, two prakim ago, how women were already eating their babies. It was already terrible. It was already many years into the famine. So this story, at least this conversation, took place earlier. Elisha told her, kumu l'chi atu v'seich, v'guri ba'asher t'guri. Go live somewhere. Don't live here. Kikar Hashem l'ra'ah v'gamba el ha'aretz sheva shanim. There's going to be a famine here for 7 years. Seven is always a unit of time. That's always the number given. So she goes, Vataka Maisha Vatas Kidvar Isha Elokim. She goes, Vatelechi Ubeisa, Vatagur Eres Plishtim Sheva Shanim. She's there for 7 years. The Malbim points out that the pasuk keeps repeating. She goes based on what the Navi said, based on what the Navi said. What's the emphasis? Ki ba'atzma lohaisa yotzeis me'eret Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz. Because she herself wouldn't have gone. Bal te'anesh kemo she'ne'enash Eli Melech. Wasn't so long ago. There was a very famous man, Eli Melech and Naomi, and everybody knew what happened then. Bifrat shegam hi aisa isha chashuva ragach shahaya pi navi astake, and she went because the navi told her to go, but not that she would have gone herself if she didn't hear it from the navi. Interesting line in the Rambam. Maybe it should be more famous than it is. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, in the end of Perek Hei Halachates, the Rambam there has the halachis. Aser latzeis me'eretz Yisrael lechutz la'aretz la'olam. You're never allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, going to chutz la'aretz, except for certain reasons. Ela lo motora, o lisa isha, o lahatzil miyada goyim v'yachzer la'aretz, or to be saved. V'chein yotziu l'schora. Then you can also go out for business. Aval l'shchon b'chutz la'aretz, aser el imkein chazak sham ha'ra'av, ad shenaseh shavadiner chita b'shtei dinarim. Unless there's a very, very strong famine, one can't go out. And then the Rambam adds, V'afal pi shemutu latzeis. Even though it's mutter to go out in these cases, eina midas chasidus. Shahari machlon v'kilyon, shnei gdoli adar hayu, mipnei tzara gdola yatsu, v'nischaivu kli alamakom. Unbelievable. Because they didn't fulfill the midas chasidus, maybe because people watched them, people acknowledged them, they were a model for others, they were gdoli hador, the Rambam calls them. And they were chayv kliya because they left Eretz Yisrael. And that is the Rambam, that one can only leave Eretz Yisrael for very good reasons. So that's why she was worried, and that's why she only went, according to the Malbim, because the Rabbi told her to go. So what happens? Vataka me'isha vataskit varish, she left, and then she is about to come back. It is interesting, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points out, you know, there was a famine for 7 years. Don't we know the Mishnah tells us in Rosh Hashanah that on Yantif, Pesach, Nidon, and Alatvua. So how could it be? Every year you're judged on Tfua, judged on Mayim. So how could it be Nikva today, something that's going to happen for the next 7 years? Ketzin evke nigzar my rosh, al sheva shonim, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, number one, v'yishlomer sha'avonoseim gnisrabu kolkach. It was such a terrible time of sin that it was nigzar already for 7 years. Yes, every year on Pesach, it was going to be decided the pratim. How bad was it going to be, and who's going to have some, and who's going to have none? So, the details, but it was so bad. But obviously, says Rabbi Yaakov, barur, shem hayu chozrim b'tshuva, haisa mispatelas ha'gzeira b'pesach shel ha'shanahi, shechazer bohem. The gzeira would have been nisbatel if they would have done tshuva at that time. So it was 7 years, it was supposed to be 7 years, but it could have been undone had they done tshuva, which they did not. And now it's at the end of the 7 years. Fatashava Isha Meretz Plishtim. She comes back from the land of the Plishtim, which clearly did not have a famine, but she wasn't interested in staying there any longer. She starts screaming at the king, El Besav, El Sada, about her house, about her field. The Achronim will discuss, based on the Radak already brings it up here. Halachically, what type of claim did she have? They had a cheskas gimel shanim. She didn't complain about it, so she didn't make a mechah. Aye, but it was a chazaka based on the fact that it was dangerous, it was a famine. Cheskas boreach, the Radak talks about here. So the Achronim discuss it in Baba Basra, exactly what was her claim on her house, on her field, based on this pasuk. V'amalach v'daber el Gehazi, but right at that moment, the king was talking to Gehazi, Nar ish Elokim lemar, Sapran ali es kol agdolos asheras Elisha. Please tell me about all the miracles. The question is, he was not an Elisha fan. How did Yehoram all of a sudden start asking Gehazi about Elisha? So the Barbanel says it must be because he was asking about his saras. He says, what do you have saras for? Right? And he says, oh, I have saras because Naaman had saras and Elisha gave it to me. So that opened up the Pesach. The king knew about all the open miracles that Elisha had done. There were many of them. But the personal miracles he might not have known about. Shemelak shura gechzi shalo linyan sarato v'siperlo eich nidzbaka bot saras nama b'dvar navi. How did that happen? V'alzen naflu advarim b'neim b'niflo shanavi oya osa. And that's why they started talking about all the private nisim that had taken place with the oil and with the isha shunamis and the tchias hamesim. And he says that's the reference of gdolos because Tkeis HaMesiv is a certain type of nace. He's called Gdolos Asheros Elisha. It's alluding to that. The Abarbanel, once we have this open here, the Abarbanel says, this concludes the miracles and the Niflaos of Elisha, maybe this last one, nothing happened here. It just so happened that she happened to come in at this moment in time. That's not an open miracle. But he says, if you do the math, if you count them all up, there are 18 miracles. Even though Chazal only say 16, according to the Pshat of the Ksuvim, there are 18. And if one wants a review, right here on the Abarbanel, page Tuf Reish Chavav, in the classic Abarbanel edition, he lists off all of the 18 miracles. I'm not going to list them, but I'm going to mention one thing he says after that. And that is, he says there are four elements to a miracle that make it a miracle. And not every miracle has all the elements. But the miracles of Elisha altogether have all four elements. Number one is that a miracle could be davar vihipucho. It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. Mitzad atzmam, within itself, it's a miracle. Number two is going to be it's against nature. But number one is it's within itself. Rotzelamar kifi ribuyam behefchiyut bepeulos. There are opposite elements that happen, like all the makos in Mitzrayim. It killed these animals and it saved these animals. It was dark here and it was light there. There was blood here and there was water there. That's the amazing miracle of Dam and Sfardei and all the makos, that it did opposite things. So he says, so too with Nisi Elisha. He removed the tzaraz from Naaman, and he gave the tzaraz to Gehazi. He opened the eyes of the young Nar to see the fiery guards around the city in which they were, and he blinded the eyes of the Goyim so that they couldn't see. Right? Everything is, he killed the kids that made fun of him, and he saved the lives of the Bnei Nevi'im, that says, it's Mavis Pasir, right? And the poison that had gone in. Number one, inherent contradictions. Number two, Abachina Hashnia, who may atzmo hapeulos v'ofen maisa al achas mehem ba'atzma, kasher yu magios al zulas haseder hativi. Against nature, right? Water usually goes down, a fire goes up. He brought fire down and water he split. Among others, he made when the Navi lost his axe head, so he made wood sink, he made metal float, right? All different, which is also opposites, but it's also against nature. Number three, Bechina Ashlishis, Himasha Asa, Yasa, Navi, Bidvarat, Bisvasav. A Navi declares something and it happens. This is going to happen. Lo Bikli, Velo Bam Soy, Kiim Bedibur, Ubamamber Bilvad. Like Moshe did once, Ufatasoha Adama Espia, like Yoshua did, Shemash Begivon Dom, Verirech, Behemakai alone. This is what Elio and Elisha did numerous times, like B'dvar HaNavi, Asher B'Shomron. And finally, the fourth one is where a kli is used in order to perform the nes. Right, Elisha threw in salty items in order to make it sweet. Right? A lot of different other examples. Either way, that's the Abarbanel, Tafresh Chav Zayin in our parak, where he summarizes all the nisim and the elements of Elisha. So let's continue now back to the parak. So what happens right when the king is talking to Gehazi about this woman? All of a sudden, the woman walks in. Says the Navi, v'yemar Gehazi, Adoni HaMelech, zosa isha v'zebra sheyachi Elisha, v'yishal HaMelech Elisha v'yisaper lo, v'yitin la HaMelech saris echad leimar. The king gives her a saris to take care of her. A saris is a eunuch. Do we have any of those in Klal Yisrael? The Radak says maybe it was someone who became Nistaris Me'elav, or maybe he got it from they bought him. It was a non-Jew originally, or Rabbi Yaakov Kabanetsky says, no, maybe they were a chote in this regard, right? Yezebel brought all of this behavior. Maybe she brought this too? And what happens? The Sris makes sure she gets everything back. Fine. Vayavo Elisha Damascus. Elisha comes to Damascus. And the Shaila is, what is he doing in Damascus? So the Pashtus is, if you just look at the Psukim, and this is what the Radak says, that Eliyahu had told him that he, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu, also through Eliyahu, told him that he was going to have to be Moshe Chazael. Eliyahu did not have a chance to do it. Go tell Chazal that he was going to be the king, and he was going to destroy, basically, Malchi Yisrael, as we will see. So that's the Pashas of the Psukim. But Chazal have a different idea. The Gemara in Masechta Sota, Dav Mem Zayin, says that Elisha was going to try to be Machzir Gehazi B'tshuva. After all, says the Gemara, Mem Zayin Amaral, Vayelch Elisha Damesek, Lama Halach, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shalach Lachzir L'Gehazi B'tshuva, V'lo Chazar, didn't want to listen, Amar Lo Chazar B'cha, He says to Gehazi, come to tshuva. Amar lo, kach mekubal ni mimcha, I have a mesora, kol mishachata vehechti es harabim, ein maspikin biyado laso tshuva. Anyone who sins and caused others to sin, they're not going to be able to do tshuva. Right. In the psukim, doesn't talk about how he was machti. Mostly just chote. He had a couple of sins. Where was he machti? So that's why the Gemara discusses my other. What did he do? Ika da amri evan sho eves talalo lachatos yeravam. Remember, Yeravam and Nevat had made these golden calves up north. So he put a type of magnet in the by the egel v'amida meshmai v'aretz. He was able to lift it up and make and pretend that it was floating between shemai v'aretz. Ika da amri shem chakag lo apume or he carved out shem Hashem on the mouth of the egel. Vayisa ameres anochi v'lo yelochet. It was talking. Ika da amri rabban adocha mikameh. Or third, right? Maybe it was the idea that he didn't let the rabbis in. Remember when he left, all the rabbis came in and there was no room, and they had to make more room. So three reasons. It seems like it's going minakala lakave, which means the worst is that he caused people not to be able to learn Torah. But he says, no, there's no way I'm coming back. Elisha, originally, the Gemara says, faulted Elisha, because this was an example of he pushed him away b'shtei yadayim, but now he's trying to get him back to do tshuva, and he is not coming back. What is emas pikin b'yado? The Rambam and the Pirush Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos said it just means that he doesn't have siyua. There was a mistake. He could have done tshuva. Right, there's never a time. Even the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, where he discusses all the people that don't have Olam Haba. The Rambam talks about this in Parak Hey, where he says, Parak Gimel, I'm sorry. The Rambam in Parak Gimel talks about Ve'elu she'en lam chelech Olam Haba. These, Nechrasin va'ovdim v'nidon ne'agodo rishon v'chatasam la'olam la'ol me'olamim. So one of them on the list are those who are machti the Rabbim. Right, people who cause others to do tshuva. But if you keep reading the Rambam after he lists off who's Apikarsim, who's Minim, who's Meshumadim, who are all of these people, who are Mosrim, who are Matile Ema Alatzibor, all the Rambam lists them all off. And then at the end of the parak he says, Bamed Varmamurim Kishakolechan Meelu Eno Khelokolam Haba Bishemes Belo Tshuva Avalim Shav Mi Risho Umes Vahu Bal Tshuva Harezemi Bine Ha'olam Haba. You're a ben olam haba. You might have to burn for what we did, but we're a ben olam haba. She'ein lecha davar she'omei b'vnei hatshuva. Afilu kafar be'ikar kol yamav. Uba'achrona shav yesh lo chelek. She'ne'emar shalom shalom la'rachok v'la'karov. Amar Hashem u'refasiv. Right at the end, and also the Mefarshim point out, Acher made the same mistake. Right, Acher hears all the baskels shuvu banim shavim chutz me'acher. The Gemara in Chagiga. And he hears all the psukim from the children. And he thinks, I'm finished. No, he could have done. Rav Aaron Salvechik's lashon that we mentioned in the past, Acher can't do tshuva, but Elisha ben Avuya can do tshuva. Or he doesn't have the special siyata d'shmaya of doing tshuva, but from the help from Hashem, but he definitely can do tshuva. That's why he was held accountable. So here too, Gehazi made the mistake, but that's according to Chazal why Elisha had gone to Damascus to be able to get him to do tshuva. Either way, Ben-Hadad Melech Aram is sick, and he hears the Ish Elokim is coming, so he sends Chazal, go take with you a present, a mincha v'leich l'gras Ish Elokim, and go see, ask him whether I'm going to live from this illness. V'yelech Chazal l'grasso, v'yikach mincha b'yado, v'chal tuv damesek, he takes all of these wonderful things, and it sounds like, doesn't say anywhere that Elisha rejected the presents. Sounds like he took the presents here, which bothers the Mefarshim, because earlier we know, by Na'aman, Elisha refused. That's what got Gehazi into all the trouble. So if he refused there, so why is this any different? Different suggestions given. If you look in the Mishmat Zozav, he has an interesting suggestion, where he says possibly earlier by Na'aman, after the healing, he gave the presents. So it was like payment for the healing. He's not taking any payment. Here, he's just giving him presents als kavod. Kavod to the Ish Elokim. So that's okay. That's kavod haTorah, kavod haNavi. And therefore, maybe that's why he would be able to accept it. Either way, he comes, Vayomer. Bincha ben Adad melech Aram shlochani elecha. Your son, ben Adad, a very muchna, very lowly way of speaking, lowering himself in front of the Ish Elokim. He asks, Sa'echem echal izeh? Or this even could be a kitruk to Klal Yisrael who didn't follow the Navi. Right? Even the Goyim are treating the Navi in a chashiv way. So he says, am I going to live? And then there's a very ambiguous, intriguing pasuk. Pasuk Yud. Vayomer elav Elisha, Lech emar, go say, lo, this is a Korean exif, Lo chayot techyeh. So if you read the ksiv, it's lo chayot, if you decree, let's start off, lo, go tell him chayot techyeh. That's on one level. Elisha tells Hazael, go tell him he's going to live, meaning lie to him. But you could also read it, lo aleph, lo, he's not going to live. But that's what I'm telling you. That's what I'm telling you. Or the way the Radak understands it is that he's going to live from this illness, but he's not going to live. And he's alluding to him that Chazal could take the law into his own hands, and he should know that he's going to be the king. Ve'erani Hashem kimos yamus, because Hashem has shown me that he's going to die. And then Pasuk Yidal vayamid espana vayasam ad bosh. He turns his face away. Vayef Yeshu Elokim, and he cries. Vayomer Chazal madu Adoni boche, why are you crying? Emotion. Vayomer ki adati yaser tassel v'nei Yisrael ra. I have to give you a nevuah now. But I know what you are going to do to my people. Even though he was very upset about their sins, he loved them. You're going to do terrible things. Vipsaram to shalach ba'ish, uvachuram to bacherev ta'arog. You're going to kill people. You're going to smash people. Terrible. And Chazael doesn't act shocked even. Doesn't say like, oh, what a terrible thing. He says, what do you mean? I'm only an Eved. He's not, he wishes he could do that. But he says, ki ma'avdecha ha'kelev, ki yasa adavar gadol azeh. Elisha says, Hashem told me, Herani Hashem oscha melech al aram. And that's what happens. Vayelech meis. Elisha, he goes, he comes to his master. Ben-Hadad says, what Elisha say? Vayomer amar li chayot techyeh. He tells me you're going to live. But the very next day, he takes a machber, some type of towel. He puts it in water. Vayifros al panav. He puts it on his face, on Ben-Hadad's face. It's not clear whether he did something with the temperatures, cold, hot, or he suffocated him. But either way, he caused the death of Ben-Hadad, Vayamos, Vayimlach Hazael, Tachtav, and he took over. It's an interesting ha'ara that Elisha was crying. So why was he crying now? So he could just be crying because he sees the future. But it could also be related to Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi tells us in Meseches Moed Katan, there is a Deya. We know the Rashi quotes in Parshas Noach. On the pasuk that Ba'od Sheva Shanim, in another 7 days I'm going to bring the Mabul. So what does Rashi say there? Rashi says because these were the 7 days of Shivas Misushalach, so we don't want the tzaddik to have the Shiva to be broken. So it's that's the 7 days, and then there's going to be another Mabul. But the Yerushalmi Mo'ikan has a different shot. Hashem was sitting Shiva for the world. Hashem was being Misabel for the world. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Hisabel al Olamo Shivas Yamim Kodem Amabul. And ask the Yerushalmi, v'chi misalom al ameis kodem sheyamus, right? Do you sit shiva before the person dies? And the Yerushalmi answers, baser v'adam she'enu yodea ma'asid lios. A person can't sit shiva before because he doesn't know the future. Enu misabala sheyamus ameis. So he has to wait. Aval kadosh baruch hu shehu yodea ma'asid lios misbabel al ha'asid. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. So therefore he can sit shiva right beforehand. And that's similar to, where do we have this? David HaMelech. David HaMelech, as his son was dying, he was already sitting on the floor and Shiva, the little boy, when he was told by the Navi. He was called by Nasan HaNavi that this child from Bat Sheva is going to die. So he sat Shiva. Right after the boy dies, he gets up, he washes himself. Because there too, because he was a Navi, he knew. So here too, maybe, Elisha is kind of like mourning beforehand, because he knows it is going to happen. Okay, so B'shtas Chamesh, so then the end of the parak lists off the dates, the fifth year of Yoram ben Achav, Melech Yisrael, and Yehoshaphat ben Yehoshaphat, Melech Yehuda, Melech Yoram ben Yehoshaphat, Yehoram takes over. We mentioned in the past, Rashi quotes it again here, that Yehoshaphat was Mamlech his son. To work out the years, he was Mamlech his son 2 years before he died. Before Yehoshaphat died, he was already Mamlech his son Yehoram, so there was an overlap between the two Yehorams. And it says that Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat was king when he was 32 years old, and he was king for 8 years. Vayelech b'derech Malchei Yisrael. Kasher Asu Beis Achab, first time that we have now a very wicked Melech Yisrael, right? All the other ones were okay, and even Sadiqim, some of them, but it's the first time that we have it. And as Chazal tell us, when Yisrael, Yehuda goes down, then Edom goes up, right? Esav and Yaakov have the inverse relationship. And therefore, that's why, once he's going down, Edom's going to attack. Part of the problem is, as the Pasuk says, Pasuk Yudches, Bas Achav Haisal Elisha. He, Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat, married the daughter of Achav. So Achav and Izebel were Yehoram from Malchi Yehuda, his in-laws. Imagine the effect that they had on him. Vayas hara b'nei Hashem. V'lo av Hashem la'ashchis es Yehuda. Hashem didn't want to destroy Yehuda. He promised David HaMelech. He can't. That's not going to be totally wiped out. And therefore, he stayed with him, even though they were going to be hurt and attacked. But Hashem did protect them. Edom attacked them. They attacked back. Edom attacked them and gave them Saris, Ara, Yomazeh, the Pasuk says. For Yeser, Divra, Yoram, V'chol Asher Asah, the rest of the days and the actions of Yoram, son of Yehoshaphat, Arin, and Divra Hayamim, Lamalche Yehuda. The Abar Benel points out here that if you look in Divrei Hayamim, there's a lot more that's not quoted here, right? One of them is that Horam had killed out all of his brothers. He didn't want a chance to, he didn't want to take any chances in terms of a rebellion. He killed out a ton of people. It was terrible. And then it even says that he got a letter from Eliyahu saying, your dynasty is going to be wiped out. Not your dynasty totally, but your family, and you're going to be punished for it. And Barbanel here says, interesting, from Eliyahu is not around anymore. He sent a letter from Shemayim. By the way, that's where the phrase Michtav Me Eliyahu comes from, right? The name of Rav Dessler Sfarim. That's where it comes from, the letter that Eliyahu sent to Yehoram about what was going to happen. Either way, he dies. He's buried in Ir David. Rashi says he was not buried in the Kivros Malachim in Ir David, because he was not Zoche to be put there. And Ahaziyahu, the son of Yehoram, the grandson of Yehoshaphat, takes over. Then we go back to the other Yehoram, Yoram. Now he's called Yoram without the hay. Maybe it's also reflecting his lowliness. Yoram ben Achav goes out. He's king with Ahaziyahu, the son of Yoram of Yehuda. And he goes and he fights Ammon. He fights Aram. Vayelach as Yoram ben Achav l'milchama. He doesn't ask anybody, is it a good idea, not a good idea. He goes to fight Aram. He is hit, he is wounded, and he goes back to try to get healed. This is already leading up to the downfall, the final downfall of this time period in history. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Hashem, before we get to next time, more exciting prakim relating to Elisha and everything that he accomplishes.